to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. Really have just a couple of thoughts to share with you this morning. I love the Christmas story. I love this time of year, especially love Christmas brass, by the way. I love reading through the Christmas story. I love studying out the characters and the events. I love studying the prophecies and the fulfillments, and then making application from that. And everybody has their favorite part of the story, right? The favorite part of the story is the baby in the manger. That's the obvious message. Aside from him, everybody has their own favorite. There may be some who have great respect for Mary, the virgin girl told she was going to have a baby. Some of you may have great admiration for the shepherds, the ordinary people who were the first to hear the message that the Savior had been born. Maybe you have admiration for the angels and you love the song that the angels sang. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. I've got a message of joy for all nations. Maybe you have great admiration for the wise men traveling afar to worship Christ. Over the past few years, I've grown in my understanding of Joseph, and as I've contemplated his story, his life as it's portrayed here, primarily in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, I've found his life to be an incredible challenge to me. And I want to take a couple minutes this morning just to share with you what the Lord's challenged my heart with. I've been thinking a lot about Joseph over the last week. And the Lord has convicted me and encouraged me, and I want to share that with you this morning. Our reading this morning was in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine how difficult that conversation was? First of all, for Mary, to share with him that she is going to have a child. How difficult was that for him to hear that from her, knowing he hadn't touched her? Their relationship had been pure. It wasn't an easy thing for her to share. It wasn't an easy thing for him to receive. In fact, it appears that it was very difficult for him to accept and believe right off the bat. And he wasn't sure exactly how to respond, but he wanted to do it the right way. Look at verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's got a reputation of one who does the right thing. He was a person who lived by the law. He wanted to do what was right. And he wasn't willing to make her a public example. He could have publicly divorced her and made a point of doing that in the community. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to shame her in any way. He was thinking about putting her away privately. While he did that, while he was contemplating, what am I going to do? God speaks to him through a dream. And says, essentially, I know you're afraid, but don't be. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. The story she's told you is true. The child that is conceived as her in her is not conceived from another man. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. This child is going to be born. You're going to name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. What does the scripture say when Joseph does that? Or when Joseph wakes up? Look with me, if you would, at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He wakes and he simply does what God says. There's no arguing, there's no questioning, there's no doubting. It is simple, quiet faith and obedience. He's not being asked to do a small thing. He's being asked to swallow his pride. In a sense, he's being asked to tank his reputation. Because you know full well, when he marries her and the baby is born several months later, everybody's going to do the math, right? And everybody's going to realize, you know what? They've only been married this long and it takes this long for, He's being asked to tank his reputation. He's being asked to do something incredibly difficult. And think, he's being asked to raise a son that really isn't his. But what does Joseph do? He gets up and he does what God directed him to do. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 2. Look at verse 13. And when they, that's the wise men, departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, again, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." He says, "I want you to take Mary, I want you to take the baby, and I want you to go to Egypt." That's not a small ask, is it? He's lived in Israel all his life. He's being asked to leave his family. He's being asked to leave his livelihood. He's being asked to leave his country. He's being asked to leave his culture and go to a place where he knows nobody, he knows nothing. All he has is a skill. He doesn't know the language. He has no connections. He doesn't have anything. Yet he's being asked to do this. This is no small step. Think of the call a missionary has to go to a foreign land, to a place where you don't know anybody, you don't know the language, and how. It's exactly what he does. And what does he do? He awakes, he gets things together, and by night they depart and they go into Egypt. Again, simply obedient and faithful. His world has been turned upside down for a second time, and yet he quietly, immediately, and willingly obeys. Go down to verse 19. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.'" He had probably just settled in Egypt, probably just starting to get a grasp on the language. He had probably developed some friendships. And now the angel of the Lord comes and says, "I want you to go back to Israel." And he does exactly as he's instructed. As he gets close, he realizes that Herod's son is still reigning, and he's afraid. He's concerned, not for his own safety really, but for the safety of the baby. And God shows him where to go. Look at verse 22. "When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth." He's concerned, and God shows him in a dream and says, "Yeah, you don't want to go back to the Bethlehem area. I want you to go to Galilee and settle in Nazareth," and that's what he does. Every step along the way, God has given him direction. Do we ever have any record of a single word that Joseph uttered in any kind of objection to any of it? And God wasn't asking small stuff. He was asking some big things. Three instances he's been given direction to do something difficult. He doesn't question, he doesn't doubt. Think of Moses. God appears to him in a burning bush and says, "You're going to go back to Egypt and you're going to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt." What did Moses have? Excuses, questions, doubts, concerns. He and God had quite a lengthy discussion. Don't see that from Joseph. Think about Gideon. The angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, you're going to deliver my people from the hand of Midian. And Gideon kind of looks around like, you're talking to me? Really? I come from a small family. We're from a small tribe. And of all the people in the family, I'm kind of least important. Me? Are you sure? Me? And you know the story of asking for the fleece and all of that? We don't have any record of Joseph ever doing that. And I think if Joseph had questioned, if Joseph had doubted, if Joseph had objections, I think they'd have been recorded because it's been recorded for others. But I see in Joseph what I see in Abraham. Abraham was told to go and to sacrifice his son. And as difficult as it was, what did he do? He rose the next morning. Early the next morning and took Isaac. Now we know that God didn't ask him to follow through with doing that. He wanted to prove to Abraham that, yes, you're going to follow me. But God's given Joseph something difficult to do. And every step along the way, he doesn't argue, he doesn't fuss, he doesn't question, he doesn't doubt. He just quietly obeys. What is it that God's asking you to do? By the way, none of this is probably what Joseph had in mind when he became betrothed to Mary. He was probably thinking of just marrying this young lady that he loved and settling in and raising a nice family and just having a nice business in a quiet little town. And yet he's being asked to be the earthly father to the Son of God. God turned his world upside down time after time. Yet he didn't hesitate or doubt. How do we respond? When God is giving us direction, when God is leading us, do we hesitate? Do we make excuses? Do we argue? Do we raise 50,000 questions? What is it that God's directing you to do today? It's going to be financially difficult, maybe so. It might have an emotional toll, it might have a personal toll, but what is God directing you to do today? Maybe it's hard, maybe it's difficult, sure. But did God sustain Joseph every step of the way? You bet. Will he bless you as you follow and do what he leads? Absolutely. Joseph was a man of quiet obedience. And he provided a home for the precious Son of God, who came for the sole purpose of offering himself as the sacrifice for your sin. We're all sinners. We needed a sacrifice. We were hopelessly lost. And it is through that baby in a manger that we can have eternal life. And even in the name that Joseph was told to give to the child, you'll call his name Jesus. Why? He is going to save his people from his sins. Jesus means, and Yahweh is salvation. He came to offer himself. Do you know that little baby in the manger as your Savior this morning? A lot of things going on in the Christmas season, but the heart of the Christmas season is the baby that came, who would grow into a man who would offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. Have you turned to him in faith? Repenting from your sin, turning to him, asking his forgiveness, and know him as your Savior. And as he leads, how will you respond? Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for his precious gift. And Father, I pray this morning that if there's one soul here this morning who does not know Christ as Savior, they don't have that gift, Father, I pray that they would turn to him today. And Father, for believers, I pray that you would help us to be like Joseph. To not hesitate, to not question, to not argue or delay, but to willingly and completely obey as you lead and direct in our lives. Thank you for your love for us, for your concern for us, for your working on our behalf. Father, help us to be true and faithful to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.